How many of you have seen the movie Home Alone? Okay, most of you. That's good. The first one. This is the one, that's the one I'm talking about. The good one. In that movie, interspersed among the very funny moments of the movie Home Alone, are some extraordinary, touching, and poignant scenes. One such scene has the 8-year-old Kevin seeing his previously very scary neighbor in church during an afternoon children's choir practice. Kevin decides to take the risk of talking to the older gentleman. In the conversation, Kevin learns that the old man comes to the service because that's the only time he gets to see his granddaughter. Now, being the curious kid that he is, Kevin asks why and learns that his neighbor and son had a falling out 10 years earlier, and they have not talked since. Kevin innocently asks, "Well, why don't you call him?" "Because he won't talk to me," painfully answers the old man. "How do you know?" presses Kevin. "I don't," comes the honest reply. Kevin says a few words about his family and forgiveness. Then he says, "You'll never know until you try." That sums it up for many folks. So many people live with broken relationships because they are unwilling to try. They are afraid to take the risk. Behind the older man's response is a fear of rejection and the pain of opening an old wound that has not yet nor will ever fully heal. The only hope for healing is to indeed open that wound, so many prefer to keep it closed and festering. Of all the things that happen in life, one of the most painful is the estrangement of a broken relationship. All of us, without exception, have experienced this and know the pain. Chances are you are still estranged from someone. No doubt, everyone here is dealing with a broken relationship with someone that they cared about or someone you love. Now, you have many reasons. You have your reasons. And they make sense to you. And if you were to sit down over a cup of coffee and tell them to a friend, it's very likely that they would agree with you. But just for a moment, imagine you sit down over a cup of coffee with Jesus. And you told Jesus your reasons, and you tried to justify to him the reasons for continuing with that broken relationship. What would your Lord say to you? Would Jesus commend you with, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or would Jesus say, "Your reasons don't amount to a hill of beans. Get back in the game and work it out"? I think 8-year-old Kevin's question, "Why don't you call them?" is Jesus' question of us. Our Lord wants us to heal these relationships, and he makes it possible for us through his grace and his forgiveness. So we ask the question, what can be done by Christians to reach that place of healing broken relationships? Well, we begin by recognizing broken relationships are nothing new. They did not start with the first time you got hurt. They go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Remember the scene where God calls to aid Adam and Eve right after they have eaten the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? God wants to know what has happened. And good old Adam is quick to shift the blame. "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." The woman, not wanting to get left holding the bag, shifts the blame and says, "The servant deceived me, and I ate." I often wonder what the argument was between Adam and Eve as they are kicked out of the garden. Eve turning to Adam and saying, "Where do you get off blaming me?" And so it begins. Everyone is hurt by broken relationships. Everyone. Doesn't matter who's at fault. Like Adam and then Eve, we worry too much about who is at fault. Notice in Scripture, God doesn't care. We are hurt, whether we caused the hurt or the other person did. As we heard in our Old Testament lesson, if anyone ever had a reason to hold a grudge, Joseph did. Moreover, he had the power to exact revenge. Joseph, the second most powerful person in Egypt, could have had his brothers executed, and nobody would have batted an eye. Yet Joseph knew the grace of God and refused to judge, asking, "Am I in the place of God?" Instead, he was more like God when he forgave his brothers. Joseph's pride and sense of fairness demanded retribution. But instead, Joseph grasped the hope of God and restored the relationship with his brothers. He was better for it and experienced the healing God wants for all of us. So what can be done by Christians to reach that place of healing broken relationships? Well, first we must recognize that Adam and Eve is in all of us. We are sinners. There are no exceptions to this. None of us are better than the other. Not one of us holds the moral high ground. We are all down in the muck. Not one of us has grounds to judge another. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This is the reason Jesus tells the parable of the two slaves. The king, of course, is God. And we owe God a debt we can never hope to repay. The sin of a brother or sister is minuscule by comparison. Yet we would dare to hold that debt against them. I attempted to do a little math on this. A denarii is a day's worth of wages for a common laborer. So the second slave owed the first one 100 days of wages. On the other hand, the first slave owed his master what amounts to nearly 183 million days worth of wages. And I guess that's if you don't take days off. It's no wonder our unforgiving nature grieves God. But through Jesus Christ, God gives us a way out. God forgives us and helps us forgive others. Carl Friedrich Buechner, an American author, Presbyterian minister, preacher, theologian, says of this way, God's forgiveness is not conditional upon our forgiving others. In the first place, forgiveness that is conditional is not really forgiveness. It's just fair warning. And in the second place, our unforgiveness is among those things about us which we need to have God forgive us most. What Jesus is saying is that the pride which keeps us from forgiving is the same pride which keeps us from accepting forgiveness. And will God please help us do something about it? How do we go about this? Kevin is right. Call them, contact them, sit down with them, do whatever you have to work it out. More than that, say you are sorry for what you have done. Because as much as we would like to think otherwise, we too are at fault for the broken relationship. It's so gratifying to belong to a Christian faith community, a group of people who talk about, teach, and often practice forgiveness. Being human, it is easy to dwell on the few individuals that delight in holding a grudge. But I'm optimistic. Not because I'm an optimist. By nature, I'm not. But because of the hope the gospel offers us. Because I know that Jesus Christ is the source of hope for a hurting world. Forgiving someone is no small matter, because forgiveness is difficult. It's hard to forgive someone who hurt you, who failed you, who let you down. As a pastor of such a faith community, I'm often humbled by forgiveness. Just as you are not perfect, neither am I. No pastor is. We say things like, no one is perfect, so often that it can sound hollow and trite. But it is not. That statement is fundamental to our faith. Adam and Eve fell into sin. Even the great Apostle Paul struggled with sin. And we get a glimpse of that struggle when he writes, "For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good things I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing." We are all sinners and we fail. As a result, we hurt each other and relationships become estranged or broken. Therefore, we need forgiveness. And as a pastor, I'm no better than St. Paul. There are times in my life I fail my wife, my children, my grandchildren. There are times I fail in my calling. There are times when I have not been there for people, maybe when I should have been. There are times when I have said or done the wrong thing. Those times are not unique to me, and yet in this community called the church, I have experienced forgiveness. I have seen people live out the grace of God and forgiven each other. More than that, I have seen the forgiveness of our God active in this church, within this faith community, this church. People have practiced forgiveness. They have put away their hurts, disappointments, and fears to live out our Lord Jesus' call to forgive. And as we do that, as we have been forgiven, perhaps you've experienced that grace too. In just a few moments, we come to the Lord's table. Through faith, we receive Jesus Christ, true body and true blood, under the form of bread and wine, given and shed for the forgiveness of sin, the strengthening of our faith, and life everlasting. In Jesus Christ, forgiveness is reality and our hope for life together and with our God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.